Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, look, you are a technician. You've gone through the program. You are well-versed in reading charts and using different technical indicators, using the ones that you like to really look ahead, try to predict where markets are going. And look, you can look around to a lot of so-called technicians, a lot of people that, not like yourself, don't even have the background or the studying in technicals. But it seems like technicals can be used very well to try to understand where some of the bias are in the market, where some of the money is flowing, and where certain markets might be going. But I've also seen technicals used a lot to really just confirm individual biases. If someone is, let's use gold as an example, bullish gold, boy, oh boy, there's a ton of different technicals that people use. I see it all the time to show, oh, gold's about to take off. Gold's about to go through another leg higher. The problem is a lot of these technicals don't pan out, I think, because these people don't have the background in technicals, and quite frankly, they're carrying their bias into the chart reading. Now, Jordan, what do you think is important when you're reading charts and when you're analyzing, and let's stick with gold, a market like gold, for some sort of insights into where the market might go, when it might see another pop higher or another drop lower? What do you think's important?
Well, I think what's really important with gold, I mean, first off, generally speaking, with markets and technical analysis, you want to focus on price and price action only, to be honest, because that keeps it the most simple. A lot of these, like momentum indicators, in my opinion, they're just derivatives of price. So you get a better, more simpler look by focusing on price and price only. A lot of these other ancillary things really don't have that much predictive value, in my opinion. Now, with respect to gold, I'm glad you mentioned that, because gold is much different than the other markets. You know, gold does well when the other conventional markets aren't doing as well. So with respect to gold, intermarket analysis is just so important. And, you know, people who follow my work for years, they're probably sick of me talking about, you know, gold against the S&P 500, gold against foreign currencies, those types of things. But that's really important, because historically, you know, gold has never had a real bull market without outperforming the stock market. So following gold against the stock market in tandem with gold and just conventional price action is so important. And I just, with gold, looking at intermarket analysis, gold against the stock market again, you know, looking at, you know, what's going on with the bond market, are bonds selling off or interest rates going down? You know, what's the Fed funds futures market saying with, you know, how the Fed might move or when could be their next move? I mean, these types of things. Also, how are other commodities markets moving? Because gold usually leads commodities, not all the time, but in most cases it does. You know, look at the gold silver ratio. That's important. So with respect to gold, intermarket analysis is so important, and it's a complicated picture. So if you're charting gold and you're not including intermarket analysis in your work, you're really missing much of the picture. And again, you know, gold against the stock, we talk about keeping things simple. So to keep intermarket analysis simple, so you're not looking at 10 different things, I would say gold against the stock market. So to really dumb it down, what you should focus on to make it as simple as possible, I would say, you know, just the pure price action of gold and then gold against the stock market.
Well, Jordan, I find this to be a pretty interesting topic, because there is a plethora of different technicians out there pushing a lot of different styles, everything from Elliott wave and the wave counts to the arc resistance, to the different forks, to all the chart indicators, trend lines, moving averages, Bollinger Bands, you know, strength and momentum indicators. There's so much for people to digest, and often it seems like people overlay the indicators they want, to Corey's point, to kind of push their bias to some degree. How do you see through all the noise? And what do you do when people bring you technical levels and say, what about this level, Jordan? Or what about this trend line breaking above it? Or what about this fork resistance or arc resistance or cycles? How do you help people and your subscribers see through all the noise and keep it simple?
Well, it's really just time, to be honest. I mean, the confirmation bias in technical analysis, I mean, I definitely have... I definitely had that 7, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, where always thinking, I have a subconscious bias that gold is going, gold and silver are going to move higher. So that was the conclusion I had. And then I tried to prove that conclusion through my work. And so I think it just, it takes a lot of time and a lot of understanding of the market to kind of filter out that bias. But that's what my answer would be. And I try and focus on, with respect to gold, I mean, I try and take a holistic view. I mean, where we are now, I mean, gold's big picture setup with, it's building the handle on this massive cup pattern. And so, if gold gets to the point when it can, first it has to break above 1900, if it does that, it will be in position to break above, let's call it 2100. I mean, that's when the real explosive bull market move is really going to start. That's when we're going to see it. And so the question is, when is that going to happen? What might be the catalyst? I mean, I've already said gold has to outperform the stock market. I have looked at other things, like, for example, Bollinger Bands, because this cup and handle pattern, I mean, the only time gold broke out from a cup and handle like really fast was that 76 to 78 or 79 period, where it was forming a cup and then it was so strong it didn't even form a handle. So if we did that a year ago or in the last year, we'd be embarking on a blow off type move. So, so where we are here and now, it's a question of, how long could this handle last? And so I've done a lot of historical research on that, and I've looked at other gold corrections. I've also, you mentioned Bollinger Band. So I don't use those that often, but I have used those recently because, gold is a market where most of the time it's like consolidating or correcting, and then it sets up and has a really explosive move. And that's how it's setting up again. And so I've looked at the Bollinger Bands, and I've compared where they are now to past, to times in the past when gold has made these huge moves. What levels were they at? How long were they declining for? Where did volatility have to get down to? So, it also depends on like where the market is in its structure. And so like using the Bollinger Bands makes sense now compared to other times. So I don't know if that was a clear answer, but I hope it was.
Well, just one more thing on it, because it's a pretty broad topic, but just to distill it down, almost any technician would claim they are absolutely using price action in their Elliott wave counts and their Fibonacci extensions. They would say, look at price action was contained by this arc, or look at price actions running along this fork, or look at the trend line. It's clearly holding the price action. So they would all claim that they are using price action, but sometimes they're looking for the pattern that fits. So when we get into cup and handle patterns, or good Lord, we've heard inverse head and shoulders, like there's so many patterns to be able to, double bottoms, triple tops, triple bottoms. There's all these things that people throw out there, and they're all convinced they're using price action. So do you think that sometimes it's just the lateral price levels of previous peaks and troughs that's key, or is it that it's trending above the 200-day moving average or below? What do you, I mean, because there is a point where it's all using price and it's all using these different data points, but what do you think most trading algorithms and most institutional investors are actually using when they're using price levels?
Well, what you said at the end there, towards the end, is really the most important thing. Just focus on pure price action, and not because one thing is with, when you're analyzing these markets, and especially gold, you have to stick to what's objective and not subjective. And a lot of people get carried away with what's subjective. And so like, Elliott wave and these like forks and arcs, I mean, those are all subjective. So I just completely ignore those things. Objective, when you're looking at sentiment data, for example, like that can be objective. You have a level, there's certain levels you can, the commitment of traders, you can compare it over time. So that's giving you objective information. In our sector, there's a problem where, I forget, like the Basel III thing, like people were talking about that months ago, like this is going to be a huge catalyst, this is going to happen. I mean, that's completely subjective. That doesn't give you any predictive value. So, and even with, when you're looking at, if you're using the price action to then come up with, well, it's a double bottom and, or it's a head and shoulders. I mean, that's, those patterns, they're a little more subjective than objective. So what you were saying there, I mean, stick with the pure price action, what's the trend of the market? You know, where is it in relation to the moving average? How are the moving averages acting? And then also looking at, you know, I look at weekly and monthly and quarterly closes, because that really tells you like what the big money and what the institutions are doing. And so, like, for example, if you look at the daily chart, and this is called technical analysis on multiple timeframes. So this is one of the few things I do use. For example, if you look at the daily chart of gold, you know, it looks pretty like a, someone could look at that and, well, oh, this looks pretty convincing. You know, gold can rally up to 1900, then it'll break out. But if you look at the, you know, monthly or quarterly chart, like that 1900, like you can see the market has failed there multiple times. And so that tells you like this is going to be really significant resistance. The same thing is true with silver. I mean, even going back, I want to say, I don't know when it was June or July, but looking at, you know, it was pretty clear the monthly chart, like there was big resistance there at 28, 29. It hadn't closed above it yet, even though it got to 29 or 30. And then there was a huge sell-off like right before the end of the month. And that was just a huge tell that the big money was getting out of the market and that, you know, at best it was going to be in a consolidation for months and months. So, I mean, to sum up, you know, my points here with respect to your question, try and stick to the things that are the most objective. Don't trail off into things that are more subjective because you're just guessing. I mean, Elliott Wave, it's totally subjective. You know, one guy can have a super bullish count from Elliott Wave, and then another guy, you know, another guy's talking about how this rebound in gold is the B wave, and then we're going to have this huge C wave where it goes to 1,000 again, and then only then the bull market can continue. I mean, that stuff is just complete nonsense. It doesn't have any predictive value. I mean, stick with what's objective.
Very good topic there, Jordan, and very good advice in that sense when you are reading charts. And also, I think it always comes back to making sure that you aren't carrying that bias into those charts, because you can read almost anything into charts. So, Jordan, summarize your thoughts then on where the market stands for gold and for silver using whatever time frame, whatever chart you want. You've outlined a lot of key levels to watch here, but what is your outlook then?
Well, I think, you know, gold and silver, they're in a, if they hold 1675 and 22, I mean, which they did a month ago or so, or several weeks ago, if they continue to hold those levels like well into next year, then the big picture outlook would remain very, very bullish. I think, so that's one point of analysis that I have. We'll see if gold can get through 1830, 1835. It would be a really good sign if gold got through that and got to 1900, even though I don't think it would break 1900, but that's, you know, one thing I'm thinking about. And you know, silver is interesting, even though, you know, I haven't made bullish comments on silver, you know, probably in well over a year, but it has held two different times the 38% retracement of the move from 11 to 30. So that the 38% retracement is right around 22. So the longer that silver can hold up 22, it's looking more and more like a bull flag. And so eventually it will break out from that bull flag. And if it does, that's a measured upside target of 50. So that's, but you know, the time frame of that, I mean, is important. It's really difficult to predict, but that's, you know, looking at the market, that's not something that's going to happen in the next 6 or 9 months. You know, it would have to continue to consolidate, you know, and then maybe it breaks out in, I don't know, 9 months, 12 months or whenever. You know, so that's the other thing with our market, you know, huge breakout moves, they take a lot of time to set up, you know, and it would, sometimes these corrections can last a year and a half, 2 years, you know, where certain people think they could, you know, if they don't last, I mean, if they last, you know, 2 or 3 months, the market's being manipulated. I mean, that's just not how markets work.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Jordan, hope this made sense to a lot of people out there. And you know what? Unfortunately, it seems like we keep on coming back to the fact that it's going to take some time for precious metals to get another leg higher. And boy, oh boy, there is a lot of resistance levels on the upside and one pretty clear support level on the downside there at 1675, or that region at least. Jordan, thanks for your time. As always, buddy, I'm going to post a link to your website and we're going to chat again next week, hopefully with some more movement in the metals prices. But again, a lot of people are predicting kind of a slow end to the year, unfortunately. Jordan, thanks as always for your time, man. Have a great rest of your week.